Part 2 Summary of the UFO Contacts of Bob Reynolds from July 1961. Introduction. Realize that the effective ridiculing forces from the ignorant, adversary powers, that have had monopoly on the medias since WW2, and so strangled all such information, now realize that they no longer have this, and thus now try to disperse confusion though the WWW by joining different forums and they're claiming they just are this and that particular contact person, now admitting it all was bluff etc. Just like the dark, confusion powers used the pensioners Doug and Dave some years ago, claiming they alone had made all the crop circles. And the ignorant press people as usually believed it. Opening comment to this, such material. Of course one shall not suppose anybody to believe this or similar contact notes, only from any kind of pictures or claims. As one must find a personal recognition inside when reading this, studying such material. So if a person will not be bothered reading or studying this or such, it is waste of time. You are absolutely free to think you are just a pile of soil with accidental life inside if you wish, as the warmongers and materialists tell you. Consequently, it is only through realizing, recognizing this surrounding material reality as only being a particular vibratory frequency zone slash cosmic classroom, on a big scale, where a given frequency design make this illusion of reality, that one can conceive such phenomena as teleportation and deep space travel through higher vibradot dimensions. In the view of the blind materialists of today, who identify themselves as the matter, body alone, of course such theories must be absurd. The physical UFO contact in the early 60s of Robert P. Reynaud, UFO contact from Corenda Part 2 of Summary, The Contacts through the year 1964, Bob said he had read about earlier contact stories, and had been searching for proofs, which he got when his own experiences happened. He had now got the ability to feel when they called him. And the next contact was to an undersea base and again his stand-in took his place. Picked up this time by a 20 meters diacraft hovering car 170 meters above the house, by an anti-grav beam, where two men from the ship up had first been beamed down the elevator to meet him. There was a magnetic force outside the 1.5 meters dia disc they stood on, so no need of rails. He described the interior of the ship and again mentioned the 3D pictures on walls. The room he came into was car 12 meters dia W. curved ceiling. After a short trip he observed the ship being computer controlled down into a base below, into a room of car 150 meters wide. Also those conveyor belts to stay, drive on. There he again also met the young space girl Beauty Linnery. He could now use a teleport station there with different end stations to their other Earth bases. After a quick med dot check he was able to teleport with Linnery to an undersea base someplace under the Pacific Ocean, 3.2 kilometers under ocean bed, outside of California. This was truly a unique experience, unlike anything I had ever known before. When you first enter, a tingling sensation like an electric shock runs through from head to foot. Then suddenly there is a feeling that can only be described as disorientation and blankness, accompanied by an impression of sudden disintegration into weightless, massless vapor, like a ghost. For an instant you cannot think. All you know is that you exist. Your brain is at this instant a mass of electrical impulses, which are being transmitted like radio. Our mind, without these physical senses, is self-existing, and is independent of the universe. It travels via the ultra-conscious to the body reassembled at the other end. The tingling returns suddenly, then vanishes. You are through, and still alive and in one whole piece. This translation has taken 1 second. 1 second, and 2,500 miles were just traversed. The man on the other end greeted us and led us to the main office. As usual, he gives an extreme detailed description of the equipment in the base he can see, X how they get oxygen and fresh air down there. And he get into the control room of their Earth crafts with a lot of panels, recorders, 3D telescreens, monitors, and flight control units. Here they could also follow the unmanned discs. Must have sounded totally far out to hear this in the 60s, but now, FX whistleblower and Red Dot military man, Bob Dean reveals a similar teleportation event in his interview on Camelot from Spring 2010, 48th minute into this interview. Row extra comment from 2010, in those days in the early 60s, there was no color TVs, so he was impressed of all in 3D plus color. He saw 190 centimeters small, fly over LA plus one over an Air Force base, where it was deliberately controlled so it was seen and they could then pick up the soldiers' reactions through equipment. In a room there they overlooked all Earth through those unmanned and manned discs, from where they got pictures and data back on big monitors on the walls. They could also remote control all the ships if necessary. Oddly enough they had labeled most all Ek. In English and not their home language Glingua. This must have been done in the intention learning our language for their people intending to be later or simultaneously outplaced in Earth society. X. He saw a laser projector, and remark, it will probably not be long before those are in sale, instead of the projectors now in use, which are surely also some copy DT stuff. X. To leaking channels as Dr. Michael Wolfe who told how a mill. Group gave Ek. To private firms who back-engineered them and patented it plus on the cover up from Stephen Greer's new book, he also got a demonstration of how they easy could teleport a ship crewman into the base he just was on from one of the bigger ships over South Africa on 2 seconds. So all Bob experienced there was almost too much for him. But he sensed, these wonderful beings have not turned their inventions and discoveries against one another in hatred and war. Instead, they have applied their knowledge for man's benefit, for his comfort, for his service. Because of this essentially humanitarian and philanthropic attitude, they have been the benefactors of many of nature's wonderful forces that lie hidden from us, hidden behind a dark cloud of our own making, a cloud composed of our hatred, our insincerity, our prejudice and greed. Look upward and see these shining discs in our skies. Think about the wonderful people in them who have already been through times like our present predicament. Out of love and human decency they have overcome these trials, and now live in a world of true freedom and peace. When you can realize that we, too, could experience in our time this blissful life, then you have taken the first step toward helping to bring this wonderful way of life to all people of our own planet. He also was a technician himself and could see into some of their computers and saw something unlike what he was used to. But what is normal in today's computers also here on Earth, which are, Dr. leaking sources as Dr. Wolf, just taken slash copied ideas from space people's crafts, equipment of either stolen or crashed down materials. Even many technological breakthroughs like the transistor, fiber optics, microwave, etc. have been undeniably proven to come from back-engineered technology from down DT crashes. Top officials in all walks of life are now coming forward with this information. But hear what Bob wrote on the computers he then saw. The actual brain was composed of a myriad of little squares, today's X/processors RO.M, of solid-state modules united apparently by mere contact. Since there was no visible interconnecting wiring, nor was there room for any. He also got a demonstration of a computer that he could a form of talk to, and with a form of semi-will. He claimed they were into hangars of more than 3-5 kilometers length and those had no columns. The ceilings of glowing white lights. In these big rooms were scout crafts of all kind from 10 to 30 meters, and technicians working on some. Book also claims that the ship got through the ocean floor through a force field door that holds the water back. When the ship reaches the surface of the ocean floor, a force screen will open up and make a 200-foot diameter passage in the water up into the atmosphere. It is possible to move out every ship in this hangar in 5 minutes. The Swedish contact person Antti Johnson also tells in his book from the early 90s, link in Swedish language, that he was taken to an undersea base where a force field hold the waters back. Of course such claims are nearly fairy tales for normal, ignorant people of Earth who have been deliberately misled and lied to for more than half a century from the authorities and the military. So he saw a lot of diff.tech. There, FX, on the right wall there was one long panel of unexplained function. It was being operated by three men and two girls. It appeared to be a sort of test and analysis device with probes in each stall. Book tell it was 396 stalls, to run the maintenance and repair checks on the craft hangar there. Another claim is that they said they had developed methods to materialize bodies made for Earth's conditions for incarnating into, just in the same way as Lobsang Rampa, link that opens in new window here. The dock on renting bodies, said was used in the far past for advanced ETs to come here in a hurry, as those bodies were conditioned to Earth's environment. One of them he met this way was the president of Coronda. And he touched one of the real big problems here. I value systems so easy to manipulate and misuse for the hidden, big banks powered behind. And this is just what those misusing powers behind are afraid of being understood, discovered and accordingly abolished, the need for a new value system on Earth. He spoke of many important things and he said, "This immediately brings into view a much needed change for your world. This is a prompt change from your present economic system of capital, to a system independent of money, gold reserves, deficit financing, etc. We speak of the universal economics system mentioned to you in some of your earlier messages. You must be aware that many of your world problems are caused by inadequate economic conditions, poverty, low productivity, poor education, and failure to develop natural and human resources, to name just a few. It is therefore advisable to eliminate these problems by eliminating their source, money and the principle of barter on which it is based. In the field of science, your world has progressed by leaps and bounds, but you are chained to the inadequacy of a system of economics that is 1,000 years obsolete." Some later quotation, "Actually, when we discuss without economics experts the barter system used on Earth, they find it hard to realize that a planet as advanced in many ways as Terra, can still believe in the archaic money system economics you are now using. There are so many benefits to a moneyless economics system that we are surprised you have neglected it so long." Together with the president came also a Coronda wise man named Altum, who talked about how a planet they knew had been pulled into an atomic war. It had had a similar situation as Earth, with the same evil's root, a money system. The atomic war there had killed 91% of the inhabitants. 64% had died immediately, and 27% of the after effects / radiation etc. Just now that whole planet was a military state much worse than Soviet have ever been, they said. The Coronda people were now trying to help the planet by many ways. After this talk of the wise man, Bob was taken home. They first teleported him directly to a small scout ship near his home, from which they took him down to some place near, by help of the anti-grav lift beam. February 4 night contact, 5. Face-to-face contact, got radio message intending a contact as usual at night, so they came in a ship some over 60 meters in diameter, which released a small ship, descending down and picking him up. They had nearly been watched of a passing car when they flew. So the bigger ship took them up. Inside he remarked that the telescreens on the wall showed the landscape much lighter than seen by eye alone, and all of them covered all around the ship, including up, down, blue pastel color in the rooms, and gray carpets on the floor. A tumdia column in the center. Crew of 7 inkle. 2 women, all wearing a one-piece uniform. Bob was now able to get a spacesuit on in the color of polished silver. It was air-conditioned and contained breathing apparatus, a communications device, and a variety of meters and instruments for control of temperature, air pressure, humidity, radiation, etc. Wearing it, they could go outside of the craft, as the shoes of it had an adjusted magnetic attraction to the ship's hull. He describes the difficulty of moving in non-gravity, and describes a view from space that we are now used to see from the space shuttles. He also saw the cosmic dust as fireflies, most of it you would call meteoric dust. It comes from many sources, among them comets, the wreckage of the fifth planet in your system, and the uncountable millions of tons of loose material floating about in space. It can present a hazard if in great enough quantity. Our ships have shielding force fields to deflect them. The problem of overpopulation, In Radio Contact at Feb 1064, Lineari spoke of the problem of overpopulation, and mentioned that India was an example of that. Said the ideal family was two children plus the parents. She talked on necessity of sexual education and on today's well-known methods of avoiding pregnancy. And said, now, assuming that your earth had a worldwide program of sex education, and a safe and efficient means of controlling the conception rate, the next step would be to consider the improvement of the stock. One might first think of the mentally deficient and the criminally insane, whose characteristics could be hereditary. If all attempts to help them fail, then sterilization would be the humane way of preventing their defects from being carried on to another generation. And some lines below, we here have developed this science to a point where we can determine even the color of the eyes of a child to be born. Also, we have developed a method of changing the genetic patterns to eliminate deformities and produce superior strains. It is possible to produce a variety of conditions, such as resistance to disease and, occasionally, to instill certain specific aptitudes, such as for music or science. Their penal system. The next radio contact happened 4 days later, when André Gale, a Universal Alliance of Planets criminologist, spoke on the subject penal system. And he said that some nations' capital punishment in form or for any reason, represents a retention of barbarian ways and indicates the inability of a civilization to deal effectively with its problems. They saw the inhumanity and limitation in our present penal system, and saw the injustice in our jury system. We are also opposed to the jury principle, leaving a man's very life in the hands of people who have no knowledge of the facts except for what they hear from witnesses who can easily be bought. When emotions and unreason rule, there is little opportunity for objectivity and justice. And talked how the rich could use money to buy lawyers and judges. Their solution was not to use punishment. The lawbreakers on their worlds could either admit the wrongdoing or use another method, psych probe. The criminals lived a free life in a kind of region, isolated from the society else. Their methods seem to be very close to what the Danish wise man Martinus wrote in his Livetsbog in Car 1931 on how our society on Earth will, after his timeless views, solve this problem in the far, plus 500 years, future. But here an excerpt from the way the Coranda Alliance did it: there are no cells, no guards, no walls, nothing whatever to restrain the individual physically. Instead, he is required to register 3 times a day at the main building in the area, once upon rising, once at midday, and once before retiring for the night. If he fails to register, he knows that a search will automatically be undertaken, and when he is found, he will be returned to continue his retention. While under detention, the criminal may work at any of a variety of useful jobs. There are repair shops, manufacturing plants, printing or taping units, and a number of other facilities. There are recreation areas, dining areas, and what you would call PXs. After his workday is completed, he was full run of the base until glun 18, 20 gluns in a day, curfew time when he must register and retire for the night, to awaken at glun 5. The work period is from glun 6 to glun 12 daily. Visiting hours are during the free time period from glun 12 to glun 18 daily. The criminal is paid for his work and his financial freedom within the facilities of the base. He would not be able to use his ANEC card, work receipt card, off base, since the penal cards are red, and would be instantly detected among the grand ones used in ordinary life. Each private dorm is very comfortable, and includes bathing and toilet facilities, as well as radio and telly screen. There is a well-stocked library in each dorm and a large main library in the recreational complex. This may seem like luxury, but there are definite restraints, despite the apparent freedom. They're required to stay on base, and they know that if they try to leave they will be apprehended and returned within half a day. They cannot use FIFA neck off base. They may not travel from planet to planet. They may not visit home. And they must live according to schedule. Apparently these things constitute sufficient psychological punishment to ally in these individuals any future plans for crime, for the system works very well. In a penal colony, a criminal also has a chance to further his education and work training if, for some reason, he did not get what he needed previously. Of the little crime that we have, 99% is due to these two factors: inadequate education and work training. Another choice open to a criminal is to undergo a voluntary assignment to one of the many planetary development units which are constantly bringing civilization to the new worlds frequently being discovered. Here the criminal lives among non-criminals, the only distinction being the red card and the 3 registrations daily. Also, he must remain on the planet, whereas the others may leave at will. He shares the same living quarters, recreational facilities, etc. Here, too, an education may be obtained when needed. Still, these people feel the psychological walls around them. The third alternative is to undergo corrective psych probing to change the criminal tendency. Under this program, the individual must report once every day to the office in the city nearest him, where he will be probed to determine the effect of the corrective measures. Usually this will take about 20 to 25 days, after which he is free to resume his normal place in society. He is now distinguished by a yellow ANEC card. He can use this any place in the city of his choice, but nowhere else on his own or any other planet. His card is identified specifically with a certain city he chooses, and is so made that any attempt to alter it will render it void in large black letters. Furthermore, he may not leave the city or planet where he has agreed to remain. This is similar to your probation system. If the individual requests a psych probe to determine his guilt or innocence, he is brought without delay to the nearest psych center, put into a semi-conscious state, and his conscious and subconscious centers are probed. We have learned that the brain patterns of criminals are very distinct from those of other people. A test for those distinctive patterns, which are formed by guilt feelings and aberrant mental functioning, is the first of 2 probes. If the person has patterns which indicate the criminal tendencies, then the second probe is used. Through careful questioning, visual memories of the crime are brought forth in the criminal's mind as the experience is relived. The probe machine then translates the electromagnetic brain impulses into visible pictures on a telescreen, which correspond to the memory of the crime committed. If, by this method, guilt is determined, criminals may then choose one of 3 means of punishment, and in some cases must submit to corrective psych probing as well. In rare instances, it requires surgical correction of brain damage to effect the required rehabilitative measures. As always, education is provided as needed. And crimes are not officially published on their planets, and the lawbreakers have no problem going into normal society again. Here I will insert another cut from a physical contact to a big human-looking alien girl from one of the overlooking Earth races, telling the Australian contact person Michelle, in -89, of the penal system used in a far, far distant Earth civilization. This civ had been colonized from space, the colony then existing in the East, some up to 1 million years plus ago. As for murder, this too was rare, as you will see. Accused murderers were taken to a special room and left alone. Behind a curtain, a mind reader would be installed. This was a man who not only possessed a special telepathic gift but who also cultivated that gift in a constant endeavor, in one or another of the special universities. He would intercept the thoughts of the supposed murderer. "You are going to retort that it is possible, with training, to make one's mind blank, but not for 6 hours at a stretch." Further, at various times when he or she might least expect it, certain predetermined sounds would be heard, obliging the subject to break concentration. As a precautionary measure, 6 different mind readers were used. The same procedure was applied to witnesses for the prosecution or defense, in another building some distance away. Not a word would be exchanged and, on the 2 following days, the procedure would be repeated, this time for 8 hours. On the 4th day, all the mind readers submitted their notes to a panel of 3 judges, who interviewed and cross-examined the accused and the witnesses. There were no lawyers or juries to impress. The judges had before them all the particulars of the case, and wanted to be absolutely sure of the guilt of the accused.